Psalms 51, would you all stand with me? Look at verse 10 through 12. This has been a tough winter. I've been here going towards 24 years. Brother Billy, I think it's the hardest winter that I can remember since I've lived here in Ravenna. Been a tough winter. A lot of us fought sicknesses and stuff like that, and cold and snow. But spring is coming. Amen? And we've made it through it. Notice Psalms 51, verse 10. In me. How many are reading with me? So God's talking to me. He's talking to me. Me, you too, okay? Me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Josh, I think he's focusing on me. Us. Yenzal. You all. How many are getting me? Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I think he's getting personal here. Restore the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Heavenly Father, I know you put this in my heart to preach, and help me to do your work, Father. Help me to do it well. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting things in my heart. Thank you for showing me things a few weeks ago. Help us to raise up and to do the work of God. And Father, I just pray you'll bless everyone here today. May you meet their needs in every way they need it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about a renewed vision and a renewed heart. If you'll note verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. How many see that? Notice it's create in me. God is talking personally to me. He's talking personally to you. That's the me. Although many times we try to blame things that happen in our lives because of circumstances, but in all reality, most of the time, the reason we have disappointment, the reason we have trouble, the reason we have failures in our lives is because, number one, I wrote three things down here. But don't get excited. It's only the introduction. Say, wow, because I'm going to say them real quick right now. The reason we have these disappointments and trouble and failures in our life is because, number one, our hearts are not right with God. That's where it's at. Number two, our hearts are not honest with God. And I noted, because we won't face the truth. We never want to look at the truth as what the truth really is. Number three, our hearts are blaming, and our hearts are blaming God for what is not his fault. Many times say, well, this happened because God did this to me. No, many times, and most of the time, almost all the time, it's not God, it's us. A guy says to me, preacher, I've got so much debt, I can't believe it. I don't know why God would let me do it. He didn't. You did. God would have told you to pay cash and not charge. Hello? He says, oh, no man, no nothing. Hello? How many are with me? And so many times we blame God for things that are not even there. Look at that verse 10. Create in me. You know how I saw that, Josh? Annie, I thought of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. How many want God to create something new special like he did when he made this world? Created me a clean heart. You know when God created this world, it was pollution-free? No sin. Isn't that great? Boy, we sure tore this place up, didn't we? This is another fine mess you got me into. Created me a clean heart. Not a heart that's cold and indifferent for the things of God, Not a heart with all, not a heart because of all, because of sin. No, we've got a cold heart because of sin. Not a heart that blames God for my problem and dilemmas, because the truth is, being those problems are our self that's what's causing them. The problem with me is a problem with me. How many are still with me? Most times the problems I have, and almost all, the problem is me. I created the problem. By the way, so do you. Even though we want to point our finger and blame somebody else, or God, you don't love me no more. Yeah. And God looks down and says, what a saphead. What a knucklehead. What an idiot. He probably doesn't do that. He's too good. But that's the truth. And so the remedy for a bad heart, it says, create in me a clean heart. Look at that scripture. Create in me a clean heart. The remedy, how many want to have a clean heart? The remedy for a clean heart is this. Get on our knees and say, God, forgive me. Me. Notice me. For my evil heart. God, forgive me for my hardened heart. The reason I don't care about things like I should, it's not God's fault. It's my heart's not right. Forgive me for my bad attitude. Most of the time, all we got to do is have an attitude change. You know, when our kids were growing up, boy, they would get into stuff, and man, they would tear things up, and I would just grab them, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to pray. I always prayed with my kids before I spanked them. No, I really did. I'm not lying to you. I spanked them. I'd say, you know why you're getting a spanking, David? He said, yeah, Dad, I did it. I said, let's get down. I prayed, and then I'd spank them. And by the way, it kept me in a good spirit after I prayed, because I wasn't doing it in the flesh. But did you know what? After I spanked David Richard and Tammy Lynn, they had an attitude change. How many are still with me? Sometimes God has to spank us so we can get an attitude change. God, forgive me for my bad attitude. God, forgive me for blaming you for my errors and my shortcomings. Listen, to have a clean heart with God, we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. And not only we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with God, we need to want to have a clean heart. The reason most of us don't have a good heart is because we don't want one. We need to want God to take full control of our lives. We need to submit 100% our will to His will, like Jesus did. Jesus was a perfect example. Remember, don't turn to it. Luke 22:42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That's the kind of attitude I need. Amen? That's the kind of attitude we all need. Listen, how many want to have a right spirit? We will never have a renewed right spirit until our heart gets renewed with God. Let's follow me with this. A renewed right spirit only comes with a renewed heart before God. My spirit's not going to be right till my heart's right. How many are still with me? It is impossible to have a renewed spirit without first having a renewed clean heart. Verse 11, then it says, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Now in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit fell upon people and left. But now we're in the church age. Jesus has died for our sins. He arose. The Holy Spirit, now once you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The Bible says, you can't. That's why, in other words, you can't lose your salvation. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption, boy, Josh looks like $1 million today. Too bad he sold that suit on eBay. Get a good look, because it's the last time you're seeing it on Josh. But one day, we're going to get a brand new body. I can't wait to that. The day of redemption is when we get a brand new body, and I need one real fast. But one day, redemption will come, and we'll have that brand new body. How many are still with me? Now we're in the church age, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit always. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. We're sealed. Listen, the reason we have our heart goes bad is it's not that God takes His Holy Spirit from us. We break fellowship. Hold your hand there and just turn to one scripture with me. Look at 1 John chapter 1, near the back of your Bible. Go towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. By the way, I'll be teaching the book of Romans, just the first doctrine, in starting the first week. I'll be teaching on Wednesday nights, and it's the first week in April I'm going to start teaching it. It's actually a Bible college class, and I'm not going to give you nothing, but I'm going to give you a lot of notes and truth, and maybe next year, maybe in 2000, we'll see how it goes. It'll take me probably 10 weeks to do at least maybe 10 weeks or more to do condemnation. Then after that, we'll probably just do regular Wednesdays, and then maybe at the end of the year or maybe starting the new year of 15, I'll take the doctrine of justification. When I took that book of Romans, Dr. Brooke taught the one class was 4 hours each night, 4 hours. So when I did Romans, it was 4 hours. When I did the Bible college here, we had 2 hours. And I'm going to try to do this on a Wednesday. So, and I got maybe 45 minutes to an hour to work with. So we'll see how it goes. So, I'm going to teach the doctrine of condemnation, though, starting in April. Notice what it says there in 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How many want joy? By the way, that's what it says in verse 12 of Psalms. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not the salvation. You don't lose that. You always have your salvation. It's sealed until the day of redemption. You lose the joy of your salvation. And the reason we lose the joy of our salvation, because we don't have a good heart. How many are still with me? Notice what it says there in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. You're watching bad stuff. You're in the bad things. You wonder, what's wrong with me? Why can't I think about God? Why can't I think about things of soul winning and reading my Bible? Because you're putting darkness in you. Darkness. When you watch those filthy shows and you rent those filthy stuff, you put darkness in you. See, we're children of light. Am I making sense to anybody today? This then is the message which we have heard of him, verse 5, and declaring you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And when you have a clean heart, it's got no darkness in it. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm walking with God, preacher. I'm walking with God. But you're really not walking with God. You're just saying it. You're actually walking in darkness, and the light's not shining at all. And by the way, you can't fool people. People can tell when the countenance of God's on you. Over in Acts it says, and they knew that they had been with Christ. When you walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit is magnified in your life, working through you for Christ. And it's obvious to others around you. Pastor Dave did a great message this morning on Sunday school. You ought to try to get to Sunday school. He is an above average teacher and preacher. And those Sunday school classes are just phenomenal. He's doing a new series, but today was the first, like the introduction to it. But look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, and we will if we have that created good heart. If my heart is right, if my heart is right with God, I will walk in light. It's when my heart's not right with God that I start walking in the shadows of darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. There you go. We don't lose our salvation. It's the fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, we sang about that blood, didn't we? Isn't that great? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. What's it do? It cleanses from all sin. See, when we walk with God in the light, we have sweet fellowship. When we don't walk with God, we break that fellowship. We're not in the light. We're walking in darkness. We're in the shadow instead of the light. How many are with me? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Oh, I never sinned, preacher. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire. By the way, I sin every day. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. If we can look at verse 9. If we confess, there it is. You want to have create a clean heart? If we confess our sins, a clean heart comes through confession. And I'm not talking about going to a priest. I'm talking about going to the high priest, Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about going to a preacher. I'm talking about going to high priest Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Man, I never thought about this, but I'm going to use it. I hope it's a good illustration. Someone was talking to me yesterday about their car. It was Billy. I remember now. How many of you have ever taken their car down to a car wash? Boy, you get all cleaned up, and they shine and wipe it down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Boy, and it just seems like, man, you go down, turn a corner, and there's a big puddle or someone splashing. That brand new clean car is already dirty. That's the way our life is. God cleans us up. We go out in the world. We get splashed on. We get dirt on us. We got to keep going back. We need to go back to the spiritual car wash, if I can use that without being wrong. How many are with me? I'm trying to give you an illustration where you grab a hold of. We need to have a clean heart. We continually need to go to God and say, man, I messed up again. Help me, Lord. And then it says, if we look at verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad God can cleanse me and get me back in line. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. There's not one of us there's not a just man upon the face of the earth, no matter who it is. They ain't. And we need to have a verse 11. Go back to Psalms 51. Cast not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did fall on people and came off. But now in the New Age, I know I'm repeating, but two's the number of witnesses. I want you to get this. Someone needs to hear this. In the church age, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. Our fellowship with God is what happens. We don't lose our salvation. We break that fellowship, that walk with Christ. How many are still with me? And so we need to have that right heart, to have that right fellowship with God. Listen, God does not cause his Holy Spirit from ever to leave us. Never. His Holy Spirit will be with us to the end. The breakdown is not with God. The breakdown is not with God. The breakdown's with me. That's why that Psalms kept saying, me, me, me. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord. How many are still with me? The breakdown's not with God and the Holy Spirit. The breakdown is with our walk with God is our fellowship with him. We leave him. He doesn't leave us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, well, God's left me. He never left you. He never walks away from us, Bobby. We walk away from him. We get caught up in the world, in the lust of the world, and the things of the world, and we get so caught up in that, we leave him. He never moves. He's always there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's us that leave him. How many are still with me? Now watch. I'm getting down to where I want to preach to. Get this. When we leave him, it's a domino effect. How many ever watched that one? You know, there's people that actually, I don't know what the, I'd have to look it up on the Ripley's Believe It or Not or whatever the thing. They set up like, I don't know, I'm just going to guess, 5 million dominoes. I don't know what the record is. But there are people that set up like thousands and thousands of dominoes for once, and they push it down. How many have ever seen that world's domino thing? Boop, 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 boop. One push, one thing, and you're getting it, aren't you? That's what happens in our life. One domino sin, and then it leads to another, and another, and another. And the next thing we know, we're the dominoes. Am I getting with anyone? No, watch. We lose. How many want joy from Christ? Here it is. We lose our joy because we break our fellowship with God. We break fellowship with God because our hearts are not clean. And because our hearts are not clean, we do not have a renewed right spirit. And when we don't have a renewed right spirit, we lose our joy of our salvation. Listen, some of you are today here. You're here and you come to church, but if you'd be honest, you've lost the joy. You've lost the joy of your salvation. You don't get excited with the songs. Oh, you sing them. But you don't really get that excitement. What's wrong with you, preacher? Because if you know what you're singing you really got, you ought to be excited about it. You don't sing a song while you're during the week. You just listen to your crazy rock music and that horrible, filthy, rotten rap. Oh, my lands. You know what would be torture for me? If I had to be in a place where it's just that rap, whatever, boom, bop, boop, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I don't want it either. And you kids ought not listen to it either. Amen. And you adults, you idiots, ought to have more brains than the kids. You ought not hear it. Amen. Oh, it's got to, I like it. It makes me cool, preacher. It makes you it makes you like an idiot. And it gets you out of light. Amen. It puts you in darkness. That's why you're thinking. That's why you're doing some things that you normally wouldn't do. Because you're not in light. You're in darkness. And because you're in darkness, you like what you're doing. Notice, we lose our joy of our salvation. And I believe there's some today that's here today are miserable. Because you're saved. You're always going to be saved. You can't lose your salvation, but you lose your joy of your salvation. And when we lose our clean hearts and our right spirit that God wants us to have, then we lose our joy. And when we lose our joy and we lose our right spirit and we lose our clean heart, it affects our vision for God. It affects our vision for marriage. There's couples here right now in our church, I guarantee you. And by the way, I haven't had no counseling sessions. I'm glad. I like it when I don't have to do no counseling. That's a strain when you have to, you do it as part of the ministry. A lady touched Jesus and he felt virtue come from him. When you give of yourself, you have virtue come from you. How many are still with me? But there are people right now have marriages that have trouble in our church. I don't know of any right now, but I just know the Lord put that in my heart. And the reason the marriage is not right is because the heart's not right. You get a clean heart, you'll get a clean marriage. You get a right heart and a right spirit, you have the right marriage. Am I making sense to anybody today? See, it's so important for Phil and Marlene. I'll pick on these kids. They're sharp kids. It's so important for them to stay in tune with God, because if they ever get out of tune with God, they'll be out of tune with themselves. See, the greatest thing Marlena can do for her husband is stay in tune with God. The greatest Phil can do for his wife is stay in tune with God. Have a clean heart. It's when our hearts get wrong is that we get out of tune. We're kind of like that radio. I like radios. You ever put a radio and it's on, but it's not really coming in good. It's on, but not tuned in. You hear waving in, waving out. I know it's out there. I can hear it. That's how we are. Oh,
we're saved. Oh yeah, we're a child of God, but we're not tuned in. And we need to move that dial to a clean heart so that frequency will hit perfect. And it'll come in real good. Is that loud and clear? Listen to me. It affects our vision for our marriages. That's why marriages are messed up. It affects our vision for our family. When we don't have a clean heart and a good heart and the right spirit, it affects our marriages. It affects our family. It affects our vision for lost souls. Because if we're not tuned in, Mike, we don't care about people going to hell. And by the way, there is a hell, and hell is forever. And once a person dies, they either go to two places, heaven if they're saved, hell if they're lost. There's no medium, and there's no turning back, no second chances. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you need. When I get the invitation, I mean before, I'd get saved now. I just come up and get saved. One of the people deal with get the Bible and show you how to get saved. But the most important thing you need to do is get saved. Don't die and go to hell, because hell is real. But our vision for hell is messed up. Our vision for our marriages are messed. When our heart's not right, everything is off kilter. Am I making sense to anybody? It affects our vision for lost souls. It affects our vision for our family. It affects our vision for our marriages. Listen, when our hearts are not right with God, we do not have a right renewed spirit. Everything in our entire life goes haywire. Everything is like a domino effect. Everything keeps falling and failing all around us. I'm going to pull my hair out. I don't know what I'm doing. It's all falling apart. I'm going to pull my hair out. Hello? Some of you already pulled it out. I'm not pulling mine. I'm keeping mine. I wish it was dark like it used to be. But the silver is good for right now. Listen to me. We keep drifting away from God. Billy Turner is a kid that never forgets nothing. He's almost got like a photographic memory. Like I mentioned last week about the balloon affair. He came because we eat dinner a lot together, he and his family and us. He said, "Preacher, that balloon affair was called the Look Up America. It was on September 22nd, 2002. And we had that morning. Not only did we have 1,000 people on the land, he said we had 472 people in Sunday school. Don't tell me God can't do it. It's all what we want to happen. Amen? 472 in Sunday school. That means you're in the 500s in church. But we went out there and had over 1,000, because I had over 1,000 balloons, and everybody had one balloon in their hand and let the balloon. So I know we had over 1,000 people on that land. Hello? Now listen to me. I got to get back to this. I'm working up to something. We need to renew our hearts for the things of God. We're like, I brought this message years ago, and Billy told me, he said, "I've got the message." We went to Naples. You sent me to Naples one year, and I watched this guy on a raft. I even preached on it. I think it was called Drifting Away or something. Ask Billy Turner. He'll tell you the exact message. He'll tell you what the date was and everything. Because he said, "Preacher, I've never forgot that message." He started to tell me what I preached. I said, "Yeah, that was pretty good. I remember it." Oh, then I know the fact that the man I watched. I remember, and this we were at Naples, and we were at that right on the Gulf of Mexico. And David was doing work for a millionaire, and we got to stay in there for 2 or 3 weeks. And we were looking out over the Gulf that one morning, and this guy was on one of those little blow up rafts, and he was laying out, and then he started drifting, and drifting, and drifting. And Ruthie, next thing I know, he was almost way out in the stream of the Gulf of Mexico. And I started yelling, "Hey! Wake up!" I think David William went out and got him, I think. I've lost some of my memory since I had the trouble, but I wrote this down. We are like that man in Naples. We just keep drifting away from home. We have closed our eyes to the truth of where we are and where we're heading. When our hearts are not clean with God and we don't have the right spirit, we're like that man drifting. And we just keep getting farther away from home, farther. And by the way, that man got beyond my yelling. See, look up here. When we drift so far away from God, a lot of times we don't hear his voice. Oh, he can make it. But a lot of times we get out of his voice of hearing us. How many are with me yet? We shut God off. Have you shut God off yet? I hope not. So we need that renewed heart. And we need that renewed spirit. Now get this. We need a renewed vision. We need to renew our visions and goals that we once had. Because we look up here. When we lose our heart and our renewed spirit, we lose our visions too. We need to renew those visions and goals that we once had. When we're drifting away from God, we lose sight of those visions and those goals. Now here's the whole message right here. John, you better get you ready. I'm not ready yet, but I'm about ready to, John. 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, a couple weeks ago, I don't know, it might have been three. It's been at least a few weeks ago. The snow was still out on the land, deep snow. And I hadn't been on that. I used to always go out in the land and pray. I hadn't been on that land for almost the whole winter. Too afraid to go out in the cold. Had pneumonia 2 years in a row. And that's not an excuse, but I didn't want to get pneumonia again. Very seldom preacher goes out of the house. But I'm gonna. And I drove my truck. I just got in my truck and I said, I'm going out and pray on that land. And I knew no one had ever been there before me because there was no tracks in the snow at all. And I got going down that road and you know where that bends out where that big tree is, like in the bend? I got stuck. That snow was about a foot deep. That I don't know if you know, out there in that land, you get snow drifts big time. And I said, oh, you idiot, you're stuck. And then I renewed my mind. I've got four-wheel drive. And I had to look to see where it was. I found it. And I put that thing in four-wheel drive. You see, when you renew your mind and renew your heart, you know what? Things are always easier going when you get it right. We're in the right gear. How many are still with me? And I put that thing in four-wheel drive, Brother Mike. And I plowed right through there. And I saw those two tattered. I got back to the pavilion and I saw those American flags all tattered. By the way, I took them yesterday and put them in my truck. I almost brought them here today, but I'm going to bring a message about it. God broke my heart over those flags. He said, that's what's happening to you and your family, your church. You've lost your vision. You lost your sight. You've let everything go down because you've been sick. No more! And I said, well, God, we don't have money to pay for the new building. And you told me not to charge. And I'm never going to borrow that money. So you better, if you want to borrow money to build that building, you better pray God kills me. Because as long as I'm here, we're not going to borrow money. I'm glad we own what we have. And we don't owe that man nothing. And I drove out that land and prayed. And God renewed my heart. God spoke to me again. And I asked God to give me a renewed vision for the land he gave us. I asked God to forgive me for losing my vision that he gave me for the land years ago. I didn't lose it, but I was on a back burner. How many know what I'm talking about? I ask God to forgive me for losing that drive and excitement and the vision for what He wanted me to do. I said, God, I don't have any money to build. But He said, I'm glad God speaks. I'm glad He, you know, the trouble is, we can talk, but if we'll stop and not say nothing, He'll talk to us. He said, you still could do the other things. I said, I ain't got no money. He said, you don't need money. You need me. You need to work. You need to get the right heart like you used to have. And I got a renewed vision for the Lord that day. And I got dreams for that land again. I was telling Johnny, we were out there walking. Man, I walked that whole thing yesterday. Yes, sir. Old fat boy. Heart attack city. I did it. You see, I'm starting to paw again. I'm pawing in the valley, Mike. God's got a hold of my heart. I'm going to go if I have to drop. I got dreams for that land, and I got goals for it. And then God gave me marching orders. Yes, sir. And God said, start working, start building. Stop making excuses. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You ought to be happy you're living. Don't give up. I said, I'm not a quitter. You know me, I never quit. You've been thinking about it. I said, I'm not a quitter, God. I'm never going to quit on you or anybody else. He said, all right, if you're not going to quit, then start working. Stop making excuses. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Don't give up. And simply, and I listened to the message I preached years ago about those 700 men of Gibeah. I just applied them to my own life. Simply use what you have. And he said this. Start building. One of my dreams was a walkway. He said, just simply use what you got. You do what you can do and let me do what I can do. I'm here still with me. I want to show it up there, John. And then I'll be done preaching. Here's what God gave me. I have a renewed heart, a renewed spirit, and a renewed vision. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Forgot about that. You're good, but we ain't that good without that. I mean, John's good, but even John's got his limitations. I talked to Pastor Dave this last week about this. And I got so excited at the spaghetti dinner. By the way, I ate first. Came back and I ate a little more afterwards. I said, John, here's my keys to my truck. Drive me out to the land. We're going to go out to the land. I'm going to look at this. I've got blueprints, by the way. I didn't want the blueprint. I wanted to be on God's land. I just wanted to be there, Mike. I wanted to be there. And so, John and I, in my suit and tie, I don't know, I didn't have a tie on. Where's my stick, John? We pulled up into the parking lot, and we went into the pavilion. What I'm showing you, we are going to start doing this in a few weeks. As soon as I can get to I've already talked to one guy yesterday. We're doing this. God told me we're going to do this, and it don't cost that much money to do what we can do. I said, John, I want, from the middle of the pavilion, we just went to the little side of it, I want to go 50 feet out from the back of the pavilion that goes into the woods. And we're going to have a walkway, 50 feet. Remember I talked about building the walkway around there? We're going to do it. You say, how are you going to do it? You're going to help me. But I'll be right there shoulder to shoulder with you. Listen, we can make an 8-foot wide, Mike, but the walkway will only be 6 foot, have a foot on each edge. But we're going to make a 6-foot walkway. These numbers,
me and John, this is a rough sketch. Say, preacher, what you're showing me is a rough sketch. These numbers might not be exact. So when we do it, you say, well, preacher said it was only 140. What we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to build a six-foot walkway, Mike. We're going to knock down the trees and the shrub. And then we're going to go up all the way up in the land, 550. We're going to go across 450 and 550 and another 240. By the way, our land's bigger than this. This is the woods. This green is the woods. Now, we're putting the walkway inside of our woods. How many understand what I'm telling you? We're going to do it, and we're going to do it immediately. I'm not waiting on this. I'm telling you right now, I'm not. I'm going to get some of you guys. Once I get this organized, I'm going to get the guys together, preachers together. When we get this thing organized, Rich, are you listening, Rich? Because you're organizing it. Chris, make sure he gets every note because he's in charge. I'm not kidding. He's resigning today. Okay. We are going to build a walkway all the way around in that woods. That was one thing God put in my heart a long time ago. We can do this without spending a lot of money. We can do this without spending a lot of money. I talked to a man yesterday about building, we're going to put in there a mini lake. Do you know what a mini lake is? It's larger than a pond, but smaller than a lake. It's a mini lake, larger than a pond, smaller than a lake. We are going to put a mini lake in here. We'll probably have to put a fence around it too. I don't know. We'll see. But I asked the man yesterday. He's a construction man. I said, "Could you look around?" I said, "We'll give. If you could get somebody to cut this out for me, I'll give them the field dirt. They can sell that topsoil and make money if they'll do this for free." How many are with me? Look up here. We're doing it. I'm tired of waiting for people. God told me, 2 weeks ago, Mike, God spoke to my heart. He said, you need to get going. You need to start doing. You got to fulfill the dreams that you told the people. You're making money excuses. You don't need money. You just need me to do it. So we're going to get out there and we're going to start clearing this land. We're going to build a walkway. I'm going to put benches. Benches here, benches here, benches here. They have benches here. So if they want to walk, and like the preacher gets tired, I can sit down. Johnny had no mercy on me yesterday. Yeah, he did. He walked a little slower so I could catch up to him. But we're going to put a mini lake in there. We're going to put fish in it. So you can camp and just members of Bethel. We'll stock it with fish, and hopefully it'll take that cold water. We have that spring goes right through there. I imagine we're going to have cold water. Good water, too, by the way. But I'm going to try to stock it with bass and stuff like that so the men can take their kids and go fishing and camping. They'll have rules, we'll have restrictions on stuff. During the winter, like the early part of the goose season, I better not tell you this. Really, I'm not building the pond for you guys, to be honest with you. I'm building it for me. Because I want to go goose hunting, and I could go goose hunting in there maybe, so. I'm being honest with you. Preacher's always straightforward, isn't he? But I got you in the mind. This is what it's going to be for the whole church. How many are still with me? Picnic areas. Taking your kids out. Maybe just going in a little boat out there and just having fun on a raft or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out once we get it. But this is one of my dreams. Johnny talked to me about that land over there. I said, that 10 acres of land, it's the guy's got all that junk on it and riding his little motorcycles and stuff, whatever those are.
I said, John, I'm buying that. When God gives me that money, I'm buying that 10 acres. We're going to put senior citizen homes in there. We're going to put a Bible college up there. I'm getting excited again. I let Satan steal that. Oh, it might not happen in my life. It can happen while I'm alive. It can happen while I'm alive, while I'm on duty. I don't think I'm going to punch out until I get it all punched in. How's that sound? And so we got the pavilion. We'll have a 50-foot walkway up to the into the woods. It'll go basically something like this. We'll have benches all around where people can sit. By the way, it's a half mile. So you do two laps. By the way, it's a lot of walking. I did it. Won't be as bad, though, once we get the road in. Two laps around that will be a mile. So you people like to walk a mile or 2 miles a day, you can come. You won't have to go to the public places. You come to Bethel's property. You come to the property that God gave us. See, how can I expect God to do something for me if I won't even use what he's already given to me? Hello? How can we ask God to build us a new building when we're not even using what he's already given us? And I still believe he's going to bring the money. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how he's going to do it. Hope maybe the denier is the answer, but if not, God can do anything. But wouldn't it be great to take your kids in and go camping? Wouldn't it be great just to cook some hot dogs out there and just be with the kids? Maybe we put some bluegills in there and get some little fish in there, Mike, and the kids can go from the shore. They can throw out a worm and catch a little bluegill and have fun. How many like that? Now, it's all going to have to be, we're going to have to be, there'll be some restrictions. We got to be careful with the water. But look at the time we could go and work, have a workout right here. And then if we do this, I believe God will give me here, my building. We got to do first what we can do. Oh, it's going to cost us a little money, but we can do it. I'll give, and I'll keep on you till you give. The main thing we got to do is work. The main thing we got to do is work. And I'm ready to work. How about you? In Luke 19:13, Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." We need to be occupied until he comes. We need to get a renewed heart. We need to get a renewed spirit. And we need a renewed vision. And I'm telling you right now, God has given me a renewed vision again. I never gave up on it, but I put it on. I don't want to make excuses. But I almost died. I had to learn to walk again. Thank God this church has kept going on, even though preacher's been gone. I've been out of it for a long time. The side of my foot now, because of the nerves, my left side of my foot, it hurts me now when I walk because of me eating too much sugar and stuff. You say, well, the answer is, quit eating candy bars. Quit eating cake and ice cream. Hello? But I've purposed in my heart. I said to them, no one was there, just me and God. I love it out there. Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for renewing my heart. Thank you for renewing my spirit. And thank you for renewing my vision again. And I'm telling you right now, we're going out there and we're going to start doing this. And I'm not putting it off to June or July. So I'm going to get with the men. I'm going to figure out how we're going to do this. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We are doing it. Brother Rich and Mike have to do it by themselves, but there we're doing it. Carl's laughing, but he's going to be out there too. God has given us something that's precious out there. We need to do everything in our power. There'll be a day God gives me them. I'm not going to borrow money to build a building. I don't want to be a debtor. Hello? See, I just believe God can do things. I'm going to say this. I hope I'm right by saying it, Lord. When I was younger, I saw God do literal miracles in Toledo, Ohio. I mean, I literally saw God do miracles. I literally saw the hand of God do miracles. By the way, that church is 33 years old or more. They said it couldn't be possible. It's still down there. Someone's preaching there today. And Annie, I just believe God, who did all the miracles for me in Toledo, Ohio, has not changed. We saw him. We saw him when he said them through my mouth. I'm going to put 1,000 people on that land. And we saw over 1,000. He can do it.
Bring one of them weed whackers or something, or we're going to be whacking stuff. I'll whack some of these kids sometimes. I'll whack this kid. Yes, he will. You're right, Mike. And that's what he told me. You lost your vision. You lost your new heart. You need a new heart, a new bright spirit, and you need a new vision again. And he gave it to me that day. Saturday, no matter how I've been afraid of the cold. But I'll be door knocking. Whatever you do Saturday, I'll be with you on visitation. I'm not going to ask people to do something I won't do myself. So Saturday, you come in, whether we're going visiting houses or doing finishing up the door calls on the cars that we got. I'll be there. And I'm going to get back with you right away. You deacons, you preachers, you thinking, because I'm going to blame Bobby. He should know this. You got a vision? You'll never get nothing. I'm all done. You'll never get nothing, though, till you let God create a new heart.
Amen. That's it.
And then when you get the right heart, Mike, you get the right spirit. And when you get the right spirit, you get the right spirit vision. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Lord Jesus, help my people to see what you put in my heart to do. I know we can do it. You told me we can do it, God. Lord, I pray you'll raise up someone to dig that lake out for us. I need someone to dig that lake out. Father, I need equipment. I need all the people, young and old. We need to get out there and clear that land, make that pathway. We need to have everyone's help. It's going to cost us some money. I don't know how much. But I know one thing. You told me to do it, so I know I can do it. It's not a huge sum of money. It's a lot of work. Help us to raise up to do the work of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, 2,000 years ago, the greatest work was done. The greatest work for mankind was ever done on Calvary's cross. And there Jesus Christ shed his blood, suffered and died for my sins and for your sins. The Bible says for the sins of the whole world. If you never trust him as your Savior, I want to ask you to come and get saved right now. If you don't know, if you died, you'd go to heaven. You need to come and get saved right now. Don't play with your eternity. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. 100% sure. Could you raise that hand? I'm 100% sure. Thank you. You may put him down. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God? Preacher, I'm not sure. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise a hand. Let me pray for anyone like that. Pastor, I'm not sure. Yeah, I see a hand right there. God bless you. Who else? I'm not sure. Yes, yes. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved. How many would say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart today. I need to renew my heart for God. Pray for anyone like that today. Yes, 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 yes. Father, I think I saw at least two hands for salvation. I saw many hands on both sides for they need a renewed vision, renewed heart, renewed spirit. God, come down and do what's needed in each of our lives. I pray these things in Christ's name. And Lord, I dedicate what you gave to me 2 weeks ago, what I have on this screen here tonight, this morning. I dedicate that to you, Father. Help us to raise up and build that. God, let the people see it go up soon. Not later, but soon, now. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on?